Bruce is back from Lawrence, Kansas, and the Sports Literature Association Conference. This is a yearly event. For anybody who doesn't know, who gathers at this affair?
Well, the SLA was formed 35 years ago. Michael Oriard was one of the, and Lyle Olson were two of the founding members, both extremely regarded sports historians. But there is an organization called NASH, the National Association of Sports Historians. They have a meeting, and the SLA was conceived to be something different, that would be more about the literature of sport, not the history of sport. So there are creative writers who come, people who create fiction or poetry. There are academics who come to present on books. We have presenters from Limoges, France, from British Columbia, from Alberta, from all over the United States. And it's not the same people every year, but there's a core group of people, and we spend 4 days. There are panels. There are presentations every day that are grouped by subject. In fact, we had four panels on baseball. Baseball was the big one this year. But it's a mixture of real scholarship, people that are writing books that will be considered scholarly texts, people that are writing books that are for more general consumption. There will be people who will present on particular sports that are not well known. Duncan Jameson, our friend from the two-wheel Voyagers, the self-propelled Voyagers, did a piece on a guy who rode from northern Finland to Bulgaria along the old Iron Curtain, starting out on this, and he rode a little bicycle with 20-inch wheels. It was a fascinating thing. A guy named Tim Moore. But the one I wanted to talk about first was a fellow named Brian Daldorf, who originally hails from the north of England, near the ocean, and wrote a book called Ice Age, which is a series of poems. But the poems grew out in part of something really remarkable. His dad was the second person in his life to develop Alzheimer's. He had a friend who did. When his father did. And when the friend began to have Alzheimer's, he started, as academics will do, researching things he didn't know anything about. And he learned a lot about concussions and about the effects of CTE and what we used to call dementia pugilosa, the punch drunkenness. And he suddenly occurred to them that his father's Alzheimer's might well have been caused by heading soccer balls. And he started doing some research, and he discovered that if you played 600 soccer games in your life, which was not uncommon for people who played even recreationally up into their 40s, you might head the ball 10 times a game. This doesn't even count practices, or 6,000 subconcussive hits. So he's thought a little more about how the balls used to be heavier, and they would get wet, and they were much more, as he said, we might know it rains. And so a lot in England. So he began to look into other things, and he looked at the last English World Cup team, the last team to win the World Cup. Every one of them played the entire game. There were 11 guys in the game, right? Four have Alzheimer's, dementia. That is four times the rate of the general British population. Now 11 people is not a scientific sampling, and you wouldn't think so. So he wrote these incredible poems, ones that he wrote about his relationship with his dad beforehand, and then the ones afterwards. And it's a great book, this book, Ice Age, because if you speak Spanish, the edition I have is from Uruguay, then has the poems in English and then side by side in Spanish. But they're all very short. Many of them use the French form, the triolet, or trilet, as we sometimes say in English. But he talks about his dad sort of beforehand. He was very mechanical, very good at all this. And then later how Alzheimer's is like opening a spigot and things start to drain out. And he referred to it as the coming of winter. So we'll be talking about the poems Ice Age, and we'll have Brian join us at a later date. I did speak to Bill James of Sabermetrics fame. He was a speaker, and he's going to join us. He, a lot of people don't know, is a special consultant to the Red Sox and is in sort of daily contact with the Red Sox, and had a lot of interesting things to say, especially in light of us talking about Yawkey. Great book. I think it'll be a great book. A great presentation by a guy named Joe Price, Joseph L. Price. Perfect Pitch, the national anthem for the national pastime. When he retired from teaching at Whittier College, who we would think most famous would be Richard Nixon among the alums. He toured the country singing the national anthem at over 100 minor league ballparks, and he had great pictures and videos and stuff to go with it. He started out in 1997 singing the national anthem at Comiskey Park at the behest of Bill Veeck, though he never got to meet Bill. And he, like me, likes get up, sing it, sit down, sing it the way it was written, and sit down. And he has just a tremendous speaking voice. He was really good, so we'll be looking at Perfect Pitch. And I got a great book with a downtown connection. This really knocked me out. You and I and Kerry were talking earlier. If you think of the most famous athletes from the University of Kansas, Will Chamberlain comes to mind, Gail Sayers, Jim Ryan, Al Order. But what a lot of people don't know is it's not as old as the Penn Relays, but the Kansas Relays are a very interesting track meet that's been held most every year since the early 20s. There's a high school component, there's a college component, and there's a after college component. And so everybody gets to see everybody run and compete. And Kansas is a state known for track and field. Well, a fellow by the name of Joe DeShrag, who has missed, I think, like one Kansas relay in his life, wrote this wonderful book full of great pictures. This isn't licensed by the university. And his son, Miles Shrag, gave a talk about Ron Davis, which we'll talk about sometime. I open it up. It flips open to Party on 8th Street, the Downtown Experiment, and then quotes lyrics from Downtown. So I knew we had to have well, yes, this book. It was fascinating because I saw it in the Kansas Hall of Fame and their Athletic Hall of Fame, which is really nice and really beautiful facility, and in part of the Fog Allen Fieldhouse, which is famous for lots of things. But the interesting thing is the guiding force behind the beginning of the Kansas Relays, I think, will really surprise people. Now, you and I know what the Outland Trophy is.
Yeah.
It was John Outland who wanted to have a track meet to really show things off. And he and James Naismith got together, along with Fog Allen, and plotted out this idea for track because he said, football's great. That's why we have a stadium. But we ought to use the stadium the rest of the time, too. And we ought to have a real top flight way of recruiting athletes, because in the old days, you couldn't really recruit. But if you had big high school track meets, as I've been trying to remind the state of Maine, that if we would move the high school track meets back to a refurbished track in Maine, all the great athletes would see the campus, and you wouldn't be a recruiting violation. It was a way for them to bring athletes from Missouri and Kansas and Iowa. And it turns out it became so popular that they started coming from Mexico to run ultra marathons and stuff. So I've only dipped into this a little bit. There were a couple of other things that I really... Angie Abdu has a new book called Home Ice, Reflections, I'm going to make the title right, of a Reluctant Hockey Mom. I saw a great presentation by Miles Shrag, who's the son of Joe Shrag, who wrote the Kansas Relay book, An Innocent African-American Broad, Ron Davis and the Origins of an Untwainish Pilgrim's Progress from Revolutionary San Jose State Revolutionary Africa. He talked a lot about friends of the show, John Carlos and Tommy Smith, in this presentation. I mean, we will get Miles on to talk, but Ron Davis is a fascinating story, and I should, as a track guy, know more about that. A great baseball poet, Michael Bignall from Ball State. We'll get some of his poems on that were really, really good, and probably the best doping presentation I've ever seen. Dennis Gilday, who's been on with us twice, to talk about the National and to talk about Claire B, did a thing. He should have read the book, Fact, Fiction, and Doping at the Sochi Games. And, man, if you ever had any questions as to whether the Russians were cheating, you wouldn't have them after you saw this. And there were lots of other really great presentations, we'll get into some of those later on. But one that Angie did on Graham James, who some people may remember as an evil predator, Theo Fleury was one of his victims. He victimized over 200 hockey players. Angie's brother had played on that team and always had, she believed that there had been just, you know, sort of this, he sort of blew the guy off. And then the brother opened up to her and said, well, I was called into his office. He stripped down to his underwear. He sat on the side of the chair. I pushed him off and said, don't touch me, and was traded the very next day out of where I played. Now, her brother was an Olympic wrestler, wrestled for Canada in the Australian Games. But interesting, very, very interesting. And again, one of the great, and then Daniel Teredash did a fine thing on Jerry Quarry, the way that he was looked at the Great White Hope, how that was all sort of massaged into the thing, and how then after him, you know, he became Irish Jerry Quarry just to inflame the old racial animosities that have often existed in cities between the Irish working class and the black working class. Really, really great presentation. Very, very impressive with that. But there were many more than we could possibly get to. A fabulous conference, and I'm looking forward to the people that will be coming up to join us as we move into the end of July and August.
Looking forward to hearing all about it. Hey, I wanted to ask you about a couple things. You mentioned poet and baseball poet, and we lost a great poet earlier this week, former poet laureate Donald Hall, who wrote one of the best pieces about sport and baseball in particular.
Yeah, Donald Hall was a remarkable poet. And you know, if there was a link between Frost and, if there was a poet who truly, I think, took up Frost's mantle and went a step further as a New England poet whose poetry, like Frost's, transcended the world, Donald Hall was one. I would never read a poem by Donald Hall I didn't like. And, he was just, he moved back to his grandparents' place in New Hampshire and lived on that farm and wrote. One of the greats. It was really, really sad to lose him. And as we said earlier, Dan Ingram, too. I mean, it's just like so much of my youth seems to be vanishing now.
I wanted to ask you about this, too, as a longtime track coach. The news about a couple of main track stars turning pro this week. Cade Hall, the national champion in the long jump, and then Isaiah Harris out of Lewiston and Penn State, who won the NCAA 800-meter championship.
Yeah, I mean, you can make money at track now. You didn't used to be able to. I think that Ben True has had such a good professional distance career, that it makes a guy like Isaiah, who's a hell of a runner, think he can. I mean, Isaiah, you know, it's hard to train for the Olympics and be a collegiate athlete anymore. It's not that. Things have changed. And Kate Taylor, you know, she didn't qualify Kate Taylor. What am I thinking? Kate Hall didn't qualify this year in the long jump, but she won her freshman and sophomore years at Georgia. And Georgia was in the running the last 2 years to win it all. So, you know, she's got a bright future. He's got a bright future. I hope they'll finish their education. I hate to see that. I've seen too many hockey players quit after 3 years and not come back. But I've met Kate. She seemed like a real bright kid when I met her back, which is at Lake Region. I don't know Isaiah, though. I have been at a track meet where he ran. So, yeah, I wish him the best. And I think that as track becomes more remunerative, it's not a bad move for some of these kids.